Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Both for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all could be with us. Also, just joining us are our various online affiliates around the world. Glad you all could be with us as well. As you know, we always are trying to inspire you and empower you as you're going throughout your day. And our next guest's new book is one of those things that I think will actually be able to do that for all of us, but especially for women of color. We're excited to welcome Tamara Winfrey Harris to our program today. She's the best-selling author of the newest book, Dear Black Girl, Letters from Your Sisters on Stepping into Your Power. We'll talk to Tamara not only about this collection of letters, but also what it's been like for her to see the response, what she hopes you as readers are able to take away from it, and of course, we'll let you know how to get your own copy of it. Tamara, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Tamara, I have to say I've been binging on you for the past couple of weeks, mainly because I wanted to make sure I was pronouncing your name correctly. I know you've been doing a lot of these interviews lately. So I've been on YouTube, like, okay, so they said Tamara. Okay, that one said Tamara, but then this one said Tamara, so I'm going to go with Tamara. So I want to ask you about what this year has been like for you, Tamara, because you have been doing a lot of these conversations. What has it been like for you to see the way that people are not only talking about this book, but appreciating what you've done with Dear Black Girl?
It is so rewarding. So it's an odd time, right? Because usually, you know, you have a new book out, you get to travel a little bit and actually meet people in their towns and visit local bookstores. And we're just not able to do that yet. But, you know, even connecting with people virtually, I'm hearing that the book has been really nourishing for Black girls, but also for Black women, which I guess is not unexpected, but it's a really happy thing to hear. And I'm hearing from lots of Black women who say that they are reading this book along with their daughters and nieces and other girls, and that makes me really happy.
Yeah. I said in my review on Amazon, Tamara, something that I think is unfortunate, and that is all of us just kind of feel beat down right now. But I think especially when it comes to women and women of color, as this book addresses, is something that they feel is kind of compounded. I love the subtitle of the book, Letters from Your Sisters on Stepping into Your Power. So I guess an obvious question would be for you, Tamara, is when did you realize your power? When did you know that you were meant for something greater?
Gosh, you know, I'd like to say that's something that my parents always poured into me and my brother and sister, this idea that we could be and do anything we wanted to. But I was probably an adult, really, a grown woman before I really realized how to harness my power and, you know, live authentically. And my hope is that, you know, my generation, like we can, you know, nurture Black girls to understand their power much, much earlier than we have.
Yeah. Such a great thing. And I think, too, as we're going to go through, I mentioned to you, I'm going to actually reference some of the letters. What I thought was so interesting was the various viewpoints and backgrounds. And it was, you know, hearing you talk about that, I grew up being told, Tamara, that I could do and be anything, even as a country boy from Mississippi. You know, even my grandmother used to always say, you know, you work hard, you have faith in God, you can do anything. Do you think those elements, though, that I just mentioned even, that I was told, not everyone is told that, as we know, but do you think those, just having someone say to you, you can do it, as this book kind of does, is one of the things that can encourage especially young Black girls to realize what's possible?
I think it is important. All of us need someone to speak greatness into us. But I think the additional part that the book introduces that we all of us don't get is someone who's an adult to speak to us in a very vulnerable and open way. You know, sometimes it's difficult as adults, you know, we want to appear perfect to younger people. And, you know, so I was really lucky, I think, to get an endorsement from Tarana Burke for this book. And I always think about the story she tells about where the idea of Me Too, so the idea of the Me Too movement came from. And she said that she was talking to a 13-year-old girl, and the girl told her about being sexually assaulted. And after that conversation was over, Tarana wondered why she had not said Me Too, why she had not shared her own story with that girl. And I think sometimes we as women miss the opportunity to say Me Too to girls in a lot of different areas, not just as it relates to sexual assault, but, you know, friendship and, you know, insecurities about our looks and, you know, all of the things that girls face. So I think the extra piece, in addition to speaking greatness into girls, I think the extra piece is also speaking with vulnerability and openness about our experiences so we create a stronger sisterhood.
Yeah. And I think knowing that everyone's family is different, one of the most powerful stories for me, and there's so many great ones in this book, Tamara, is from Sherry. For those who have the print edition, I'm going to be referencing pages 58 and 59. And one of the things that Sherry says, Tamara, is this: now that I'm 43, here's what I've learned, and here's what I want you to know. You will be all right. As a matter of fact, you're going to be more than all right. You're going to be great. She goes on to say, lay down your pain, bitterness, hurt, and mistrust, and start truly believing in your purpose and destiny. And I love this part. You are here in this time and in this place for a reason that is bigger than you may realize now. What about that? I mean, what is that like for you to be able to have someone like Sherry, considering what her story, her backstory is, to kind of have mm-hmm. that for others who may share a similar situation, Tamara, to know that, you know what, you're not only going to be all right, you're going to be more than all right, you're going to be great.
That's the key. So, you know, that's what that vulnerability does. I mean, because anybody can say, oh, you're going to be fine, you're going to be wonderful. But there's something extra in someone saying it who has walked a similar path as you, who can say, I know you're going to be all right because I'm all right and I went through this. You know, I was a foster kid or I was adopted or I was insecure about my skin color, all of those things. So I think I am so grateful for women like Sherry who were willing to share their stories, you know, and give a window to their experience to younger women.
Has it been comfortable for you, Tamara, to embrace your own success?
Oh, I was about to say yes with a question. With a question. It is, you know, having a book published, and this is my second. It is a lifelong dream that I had since I was a little bookish girl growing up in Indiana. And it makes me feel good, because I write my books for us. I write my books for Black women and Black girls. And it makes me feel good every time I hear a woman or a girl talk about something that they gained from one of my books, something they gained from Dear Black Girl. So to me, that's where the success lies, that I hope. You know, I tell my nieces all the time that I want them to be better than me. You know, not that I'm not great, but I want to make the world a better place for them. And so if my books are able to do that, then I will call that successful.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned, of course, and I think it's really interesting, too, you know, as going mm-hmm. through and as I was reading these letters and thinking about, you know, there are some great universal themes, I think, in this book, because mm-hmm. unfortunately, even we guys are not always told what we can be, especially, you know, mm-hmm. if we come from a certain place. I know what it was like growing up, you know, and people, you know, when I would start traveling, people would ask me to say certain words because they thought it was funny because I was, you know, from the South and I had a drawl and, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's so easy for us to not feel like we belong. I bring that up because mm-hmm. of another letter that I want to reference in the book, and I think it goes to something else for all of us. And this is from Renee. And Renee says this, and I think for a lot of people out there that are just now finding out about this book, I love this point on pages 109 and 110, and that is Renee says, know that where you are now doesn't have to be indicative of where you end up in life. And she goes mm-hmm. on to say, I believe in you. I'm rooting for your success and your happiness. Chin up, baby girl. Queens don't let other queens drop their heads or standards. I'll be praying for you, and people will see part of Renee's story. I wanted to bring up Renee, Tamara, because I think a lot of times people will look at where someone has been or where they're from or what they look like or mm-hmm. who their parents are, what they drive. What was that like for you to see how she really helped people to see that you are so much bigger than that? You're so much bigger than the limitations other people want to put on you.
I thought that was a fantastic message and so important for Black girls, because there are some foundational stereotypes that have followed Black women and Black girls for centuries, and they greatly affect, you know, the girls' lives. They affect how girls are seen. There was a study done by Georgetown University a few years ago that talked about, for instance, how Black girls are seen as adults. As young as 5 years old, are looked at as being more adult, more independent, less in need of help, more knowledgeable about adult things, including sex. So that affects the way that people look at Black girls. And so I think it's important for them to hear on a regular basis from other people that you are not what everyone says you are. You are you. Take time to figure that out. You will be okay. You have a bright future ahead of you. We have to undo all of those negative biases that Black girls live with and that they're going to hear out in society. And so I think letters like Renee's are very, very important, especially because Renee had a difficult youth. And experienced incarceration. So, you know, it is very important for her to tell that story.
Such a great point. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome best-selling author Tamara Winfrey Harris to our program today. She's the author of the new book, Dear Black Girl, Letters from Your Sisters on Stepping into Your Power. We're going to remind you he can get your own copy of the book, as well as, of course, stay connected with Tamara. So, Tamara, you mentioned, of course, the change landscape that you're releasing this great book in. That is, we can't go anywhere right now.
Right.
So, you know, like you say, you know, we all are just kind of just looking at each other through screens right now, which is not always bad. What has it been like for you to be innovative this way? I was half joking but half serious when I was talking about watching other interviews you've done, and it was really a lot of fun for me to see the engagement you were getting, especially in these chats, not only about the book, but also the community around these letters and these women. So what has it been like for you to use social media this way, Tamara, to be able to make these connections and to keep the conversations going?
You know, it's kind of neat. I hope when we come out on the other side of this, that we find a way to keep what was good about this moment. And, you know, even if we return back to quote unquote normal, because, you know, what all of this virtualness has allowed me to do is meet with a lot more people in a lot more places, because, you know, we're all just sitting in our living rooms and in our offices. It's allowed me to do more events with some of the letter writers. And, oh, man, like, the women who contributed letters to this book are amazing. Like, you could do an interview with any one of them alone. Like, they're fantastic. I wouldn't be able to do that if we were, you know, doing this in the traditional way. So in that way, it's been fantastic. I suppose I'm not getting the traditional book tour audience, but I'm still having a really fabulous time.
And I think, too, one of the things I've been noticing in talking with authors like yourself, Tamara, is that, you know, in many ways it's helped them to expand the audience because people don't feel like they have to travel. They can just log on to their phone or to their device and be able to catch it, or even go back later, even with the bookstore that you were with. I noticed, you know, they were able to be able to get the book, you know, and have that sense of community. The last letter I want to mention is probably one of my favorites, and that is from Adrian. And there's so much, really, I could read the whole letter. I mean, there are so many great things that Adrian said. But I want to talk to you before I share what I thought was my favorite part. What was Adrian's letter like for you? I mean, to have her talk about being studious, right, to being a voracious reader, but not always even people thinking that, you know, she, again, was as gifted as she was. What was it like for you to kind of read and think about her story?
That was me. Like, that was a letter that I really related to. I was a studious girl that spent all her time in the library and in the stacks and collecting books and all of those things. I never had the experience of someone not thinking I was as smart as I was, but that identity resonated with me. And, you know, smart girls are not always valued when we're younger. And so, you know, I read her letter and I smiled because it made me think of, you know, little me. And then I thought of some other girl, you know, reading it at 13 years old, maybe like reading it in the library, you know, where she is on a Saturday. And that made me really happy, the sort of the generational link between us all.
Yeah, you know, she really had me when she started off with, "I have hopes for you." And I think when I think of this letter, and it was really interesting for me in reading it, because I didn't have any racial situations in my education time with, you know, being felt like I was being treated different than my, you know, my white counterparts or white students. But I think, you know, I did think about an experience I had with a teacher who made a comment that some were offended by to me, and I didn't take it the way, and he explained he didn't mean it the way it sounded. I think, you know, the part of the letter that really got me, and for those who have the print edition, it's on page 31, there in the book, in the letter, Adrian says this: "I hope that every aspect of your life will nurture your love, particularly your self-love. I hope you appreciate the beauty of you, from the color of your skin to the way your hair grows to the body that supports and moves you through the world." And then she says, "I hope you know that you are a person of incredible potential and untold capabilities, and the world is open to you in ways you may not be able to imagine now. If something interests or motivates you, I hope you pursue it, even if the path seems difficult or unsure." So I want to ask you this, and this is the reason why I want to ask you the personal question, Tamara, about that, is how do you find the courage to do that? Because that sounds good, to pursue things, even when things don't seem easy. That sounds really good. But how do you do it in the world that you live in?
You know, a lot of it really does go back to my upbringing. My parents, who, again, my dad, who's a country boy from Mississippi, and my mom from here in Indiana, who, you know, breathed life into me and told me I could do whatever I wanted to do, but I was going to have to work really, really hard at it. And I've carried that throughout my entire life. But I do realize, and it's become clearer to me the older that I get, that not everyone has the benefit of that love surrounding them. And so I think, you know, if there's anything that the adults that are listening to this can take from it, is that it really is important that we create a village for girls and boys, so that there is someone always telling them that you can do it, even when it is hard. because that, I mean, that matters. That really, really matters, and it makes all the difference. And it breaks my heart that there are kids out there who don't hear that every day.
Yeah. And I think, too, the elephant in the room is, Tamara, to be quite honestly, and I, when I think about my own life, unfortunately, we don't even hear from people who look like us. You know, there will be
mm-hmm.
people who will tell us, you know, what we can, what makes you think you can do that? You know, who do you think you are? You know, and I think that is why that letter to the me stands out, because those difficulties will be there, too, not only, of course, from other people, but also, I think, you know, for those who, you know, who look like the individuals reading these letters, and I think that's the powerful thing. So what is your hope? When people finish Dear Black Girl, Tamara, what do you hope they're able to take away from the book that they can then be able to use themselves?
I want girls to feel loved, and I want them to feel loved and valued in all of the ways they show up in the world. All of those things. And I say at the end of the book, you know, no matter what you look like, no matter where you live, no matter what thing has happened to you, no matter what mistakes you have made, that you are loved and you are valued. Because that feeling, that understanding that you have value and that you are loved is the thing that then lets you move forward and do the things that you need to do and achieve the things that you need to do and heal. And I think hopefully this book will also model for women and girls the ways we need to support each other. Because you are right, I have heard from girls that sometimes the people that reinforce those negative ideas about them are people who look like them and should know better and should be loving
yeah.
them. So I hope this book will stand as an example of how we can love girls with openness and vulnerability and love.
You know, one thing I do want to mention, Aisha said this, and I think it's an important point
mm-hmm.
to make, and as she's talked about how not being defined by what happened to her, but I think also
mm-hmm.
saying it in a way that, I guess it's still, you know, we are still finding people, especially in our communities, are not always comfortable with therapy. Aisha talks about therapy,
mm-hmm.
the importance of that. Do you also, you know, because there was another one of the letters I remember, someone said, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, don't be afraid to, you know, even whether it's to your elders or whoever, don't be afraid of that. Do you also hope that message comes through as well as a kind of a thread through this, that you don't have to do this by yourself?
Yes. Yes. And unfortunately, I mean, we know why we are hesitant sometimes to ask for help. We know that a lot of girls and women struggle with this idea of strength, you know, being strong Black women and being able to shoulder everything on their own. But that's unhealthy. And I hope this will also show that, you know, even if you think you're embarrassed about something and you think, you know, it is uniquely an experience that belongs to you, there are women out there that have experienced the same thing, and it's okay.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I'm so glad that mm-hmm. we're able to have conversations like this, Tamara, that you have mm-hmm. compiled this group of letters that really show that message. Again, everyone, best-selling author Tamara Winfrey Harris has been our guest. The book is called Dear Black Girl, Letters from Your Sisters on Stepping Into Your Power. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com. That's where I got it. I've already written my review on Amazon. I encourage you all to get your copy either there or through your favorite local bookstore. If they don't have it, they'd be more than happy to order the book for you. It definitely is a conversation piece I think you'll enjoy for yourself, but also to talk about with others. And Tamara, how can our audience stay connected with you?
Please stay connected with me at TamaraWinfreyHarris.com. You can also find a free downloadable reader experience kit for Dear Black Girl with questions to help you deepen your experience with the book and some great paper dolls and a playlist and tips for intergenerational conversation. You can also find me at What Tammy Said, TAMI. On Twitter, and Tamara Winfrey Harris on Instagram and Facebook.
All right, Tamara, congratulations to you again. Excited to be working with you over the next couple of months and sharing the message of Dear Black Girl, and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Thank you so much for having me, and you have a wonderful rest of the day.
And you as well, Tamara. Appreciate that. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for sharing with us here at Conversations Live. Until next time, you all make today amazing. Take care.